All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, and a lot of time to do it, as we'll follow up in the zone within the red zone starting at 7 o'clock, taking you all the way up to the national broadcast of Monday Night Football a little later tonight. So lots of time to talk about a big football weekend. The Colts get their second victory, but do so without Andrew Luck. What does that mean? That means they're 2-2. That means who knows if Andrew Luck is going to play Thursday night against Houston. But that decision on Sunday may have very well been made for this game upcoming on Thursday, and then 11 days off before they face the Patriots. But here in Bloomington, a raucous crowd and a wet and cold day, but a heck of an effort by the Indiana Hoosiers. They do fall 34-27 to the number one team in America in the Ohio State Buckeyes, but it was a mostly full stadium. Again, a very good crowd gave some good noise behind the Hoosiers, and the Hoosiers responded with a very good effort in Glass on the big stage for the first time here. ABC for this year, 4-0 Hoosiers, undefeated Ohio State, the big game, the biggest game by far of the year, possibly all year long. And the Hoosiers team, we've talked about how they haven't been playing perfect all year long. They've got little things they need to correct all over the place, but have been doing enough and have been looking pretty good at certain areas. They still can't come out of this game with some things they need to sew up, but I'll tell you what, you can't fault the effort. And you hate to talk about a moral victory out of any of these games, but the bottom line is with this team, it needs to have confidence, and playing with the number one team in America, even falling short, is going to give this team confidence down the road. Remember, the goal this year, bowl game, not national championship, not Big Ten championship, sadly, but it's a bowl game. And this right here shows you, not that Indiana's got some 10-win season necessarily in it, but shows you that it can compete, shows you that it has the effort and I guess the heart to stick around that long, and shows you it can do so without a little bit of adversity, losing their quarterback and their running back.
Well, I think Kevin Wilson made the point after his post-game, or during his post-game comments, when he said at halftime, "You thought you could play, now you know you can play." And that's a big step for this program, because there have been years where it's been damage limitation or, hey, let's not get beat by 50 on national TV, Big Ten Network, ESPN, or whatever else it could be. I think Indiana is well past that point, hopefully, in their future, in their now, which is even more important. But to play a team of Ohio State's caliber, with the depth they have, with the explosive players they have on both sides of the football, if you would have told me before the game started we'd have one chance to win it from inside their 10-yard line with one play, you'd have cut your arm off and taken it.
Absolutely.
And beat yourself over the head with it.
Take your chances.
Take your chances and win. And sadly, the snap into that final play kind of sums up, not it, but it was one of those, yeah, can we just get one snap off at one time to give us a chance?
That's
to do
Hoosier
it?
Football.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with that.
That's our
and
history.
That's kind of the ghost that you haven't killed yet. That's the demon you haven't put to rest just yet. But to go out at 34-20, the place is dead. Everybody is on blowout alert. There's people scrambling to put their things together in the stands, and your team responds with a backup quarterback who had not touched the football this season, breaking off an 80-yard run against guys that are going to be playing on Sunday, and no one caught him. That's what happened. That's a big play. That's a big play. Indiana gave up three of them. I get that. Ezekiel Elliott's pretty good at what he does. But for Indiana to find a way to make that play, to get back in the game, you get the Scales interception. It was a team, again, Dave, that is showing way more signs of life moving in a positive direction than it is of, well, we've plateaued and now it's time for the chair lift down.
Right.
That's not the case this year, not yet. The next big step for this team is, well, you haven't lost yet. Now you have to go on the road and deal with it against a Penn State team that maybe is not as impressive offensively, but the defense is different. And I think rounding this out, Indiana's defense, Dave, has been the story this year. It hasn't been the offense. And I don't think if you polled 100 IU fans, I bet all of them would have told you that the key to Indiana's success this year is going to be scoring more points than the other team and hoping to hang on to win. But you have to give credit where credit's due. Again, You'd love to have seen it if Sudfeld's ankle was healthy and Howard's ankle was healthy. You'd have loved to have seen how it played out.
Sure.
You'd have loved to see it play out if Darius Latham could have been in that line. And how good's Nick Mangieri? I'm tired of saying it. He's a nice player. He's been playing great all year long.
Yeah.
But again, not having that extra body where Ohio State gets a guy, gets knocked, they bring in another four or five-star recruit. So
sure.
Indiana can't afford those
things.
But what they did at the end of the game, as you accurately pointed out, they were there. They had a chance to win it at the end, perhaps with a two-point conversion, if it would have gotten to that, or even in overtime. Maybe the defense makes one more play. They get three turnovers on the day. The effort is great. It was nice to hear the kids after the game talk about, yeah, we should play hard. It's number one team in the country. Yeah, it's Big Ten football.
Absolutely.
We should play hard.
Absolutely.
We're not happy we didn't win. That's a different motto. That's a different mantra. That's a different feel coming out of the locker room than maybe you've seen in past years in a game of this magnitude.
No, it's a big win. It's a big game for Indiana. There's no question. Again, nobody likes moral victories. Nobody wants to talk about it. Unless you're Rocky and Rocky won. Nobody wants to talk about you got close and you were almost there. But you were right about the one main point.
What happened
there.
To Rocky in the end? He won, didn't he?
Well, not in the first one he didn't.
No, he didn't, but
down
it took
the
road
him a whole other movie.
Well,
and they had to pay for all that production and 2 years, or whatever it was.
But it's
done.
Going the right way.
Well, that's the point.
This is not Rocky V.
We went into this game and the question was, is it going to be exposed? They were 4-0 against a schedule that nobody said was an awesome schedule. Now, we told you why it was a decent schedule,
yes,
for this
Western
team,
Kentucky was
and it was.
Wake at home against Florida State last week was decent.
But it was not a murderer's row.
Right.
And so the question was, going up against number one, if anybody's going to expose you, it's going to be number one. Were they going to get exposed? And I think what you saw is, of course, the running game struggled more than it would against the other defenses they played, because the other defenses they played weren't up to this caliber by any stretch of the imagination. Of course, the running, the defense gave up yardage and gave up points at the end of the day. Of course, it was difficult on special teams. Of course, all these things, because you are out-talented at pretty much every position against an Ohio State. But the fact that it does come down to literally the last play of the game says an awful lot about what they're doing and how they're doing it to be in that position. And it's not, hey, they were exposed and they're not good enough and here's where the whole thing falls apart. It was, no, we lost our best quarterback that we think is a pro prospect. We lost the best running or the leading rusher in all of America, and we lost our best defensive lineman. Three of our best players didn't play the second half of this game. One of them didn't play the whole game. And yet it came down to the final play of the game still.
That's progress.
Says an awful lot about where you're headed. It's not, it's not great on a Sunday or a Monday to talk about necessarily, because it's still a loss, but you're talking about, where is this program going? And I've said before, you give a guy a 7-year contract to see if 5 to 7 years can work out for the guy. You got to be happier about IU football today than you were 3 years ago, don't you?
Even
last year.
And looking at it as well, it wasn't a double reverse pass that scored a touchdown. It wasn't a fake field goal that scored a touchdown. Xander Diamond on a read option that went and scored a touchdown. And Devine Redding powered it through. And you found some guys down the field, made some plays against a really good defense.
The defense stepped in front of a pass, saved you some points.
Marcus Oliver again makes a play. And again, plays are being made. Indiana is not lucking their way into this. They're not backing their way into it. But
right.
The one thing they haven't been able to do for a while in these games is find a way to kick the door down, get inside, and bolt it shut and not let the other guy come back. But, Dave, it's what, 10-0? 10-6 at half?
Yeah.
Even the biggest skeptic, and I know there's plenty of them out there, have to at least tip their cap and say, this is heading in the right direction. Is it the finished article? No. And we talked about that all last week. This team, the strength of this team, in my opinion, it isn't the finished article. They're still chasing.
Still got work to do. But again, head in the right direction, and then they got to head to Penn State. We'll talk a little bit more, though, about how they got that done when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Talking football, and IU football in particular, and again, we're with you until 7:45 tonight as Monday Night Football takes over the national broadcast of Detroit at Seattle at 7:45, kickoff around 8:30. So we're with you until then. Talking sports, we'll handle the Colts in a little while, but IU right now drops 34-27, but again, a shot into the end zone on the last play of the game with Xander Diamant. throwing the ball at that point. Jordan Howard out with a sprained ankle. Nate Sudfeld out with a sprained ankle. We knew Darius Latham wasn't going to be in this game. Let's start with the offense, though. You mentioned going up 10-0, and I'll get to the defensive side of this later because I think it's extremely important. But on the offensive side, you mentioned it also correctly. This team on offense has not been perfect. It's been far from it. It has run the ball extremely well. It has gone with power looks a lot of the time, a lot of two tight ends in the last few games. Didn't do so much with the two tight ends in this case. Really, the running game got pretty well bottled up all day long. Xander Diamond ended up with one long rush. It's a 79-yard rush. It counts. You take that out and you look at what is kind of your base running game. It's completely different from what you've seen out of the Hoosiers because they went up against a much better defensive front seven. 54 rushes for 97 yards would have been the numbers without that one Xander Diamant run. That's less than 2 yards a carry. That's not anywhere near what they've been doing this year. But to me, to continue to run the ball with the defense that you know is a weakness for you, especially when you've got Xander Diamant in there and you don't want to put him in a position to throw the ball all over the place. What you've got to do is you've got to shorten the game as much as humanly possible. They continue to run it. It drives you nuts sometimes, and you see them run it into a defensive line that's standing there and stuffing you all day long. But what it did is it shortened the game. They had 8 more minutes of time of possession than Ohio State did. That has an effect, especially when you take away the ball then 3 times on top of that. It shortens the game. It continues to make it a physical game that you feel like you got a part of. It doesn't put you in all your worst situations, again, as we mentioned. To me, that's the smartest thing they did, even though the production looks crappy out of it, is they continued to stick with that because that has been their identity. They hoped to pop something out of it at the end of the day. And sticking Devine Redding into the middle of that offensive line is what draws in the safeties. It allows Xander Diamant to go 79 yards at the end of it all.
Yeah, and the other part of that was people were frustrated with Redding and where he was going directionally. Well, the reason they wanted to get inside was, and I heard this on the sideline, was Ohio State's linebackers are awfully good.
They're really good.
There's not room to get
really good.
There's not room to get east and west with them. You got to go north and south
These
and try to get them
top 50 recruits.
And you try to get them on the over pursuit and the cutback. Yeah. You don't try to string them out and turn the corner on because the safeties are too good. The corners are good. The linebackers are too good. That was designed by Indiana to do what you did. Number one, shorten the game.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want to do. You want to keep the clock rolling. You'd like some more first downs. I get that. But remember, Xander Diamant wasn't taking 80% of the snaps this week.
No.
And Devine Redding had to throw up 30 carries. I think he had how many coming in the season?
30 carries.
37 on the season. Yeah, it's not much more, but he's not used to. And again, when you don't prepare for that, you're asking these kids to do something to keep you in the ball game, and they did.
Yeah.
You could tell early on Sudfeld that something was amiss. He had throws with time that the ball was nowhere where it needed to be. It was surprising when he went out because the angle went from, well, you just blew Diamant's red shirt to, oh, man, Sudfeld's hurt.
It's really a
but
problem.
But you saw some one hoppers. You saw some balls that weren't.
He had 3 straight third down conversion plays where he one hopped a ball, and at least 2 of them the guys,
you know what?
At least reasonably
and
open.
It looked like, from my standpoint, and again, I hang out with some IU people down there just because of what I'm doing for the game, and everybody's in
right
the game
there,
and they're
sure
into football. Everybody, and I agreed with this. It looked like Sudfeld was throwing the ball not to make a turnover, and you can't do that against Ohio State. So now that you hear his ankle had problems, it makes sense. He knew he couldn't push, he couldn't fire, so instead of trying to stick it in somewhere, he's going to give his team a chance to just pay punt it. Let's get out of here.
And that's not flashy.
That's smart. It's a senior quarterback.
Right.
But
smart.
Now hearing that when he went out of the game and hearing it was a foot problem, when you could just see him, he was, I don't want to throw it in the air.
Yeah.
You didn't see him sling it.
The TV broadcast showed one particular play where it looks like either his foot got stuck or something. It's actually his front foot, his left foot. So it's not the one you plant off of, but you got no balance coming out of it. You plant off your right and really get all your power off of that. But either way, when you're like that, you're not ready for it. It looked like he must have retweaked it as though he was fine, because in the first half he was decent.
And he had pink tape on it. It was a dead giveaway.
Exactly.
You could see it because it was pink tape.
Exactly.
Breast cancer
so day. He was not
smart.
He was not all there to begin with. And then Howard, it didn't take long for Howard to get injured, because this happened on a sack where your left tackle who's gotten a lot of plaudits and is very, very good. He got blown up by Joey Bosa, who blows up Sudfeld and lands on Howard. Yes. So he took away all three of the best players on the offense on one play.
And that's not going to be the last time Bosa's in someone's backfield. Good. I heard his little brother's better. That's kind of a frightening thought.
Yeah, he's committed to Ohio State.
Yes,
too.
He is, the Jersey boys. But the point about Sudfeld was you wonder why he wasn't maybe slinging it against Wake Forest. You say, it's raining, it's a little wet, it's a little this, it's a little that. And then you hear, he tweaked it in that game. So you know how ankles are if you've ever been an athlete. There's two things with an ankle for me. It's healed or it bothers you. Yeah. There's never an in-between with that. And you can
if it bothers you at all, it could re-pop at any point in time.
And against Ohio State, you have to be mobile. You have to move in the pocket.
Let's be fair, our field looks like crud right now, too. I know they're coming away with it, but there's something that's not perfect about that either.
And that's why it's being replaced next year. So that's part of the deal. It was a wet day, whatever else. So you throw all that in, but you nailed it. The quarterback made the right choices. Instead of trying to be a hero against Ohio State on national television, he threw it in the shins where no one could make a play on it. You want to boo because it's a bad pass. Now you at least know why it's a bad pass, and I can live with that. A freshman quarterback maybe doesn't do that. He tries to make a name for himself, and then all of a sudden you got pick sixes going the other way, or you got turnovers. How many turnovers did Indiana have in a game?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
So that's part of why they're in there with one shot at the end. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot. The line held up pretty good, and they couldn't yard a carry.
So let's
that's good.
Let's stick
that's
with what we've talked about so far. What we went into this game with was your offensive line and your running back are the strength of this team. You've got a good quarterback. You've got questionable wide receivers. Can they make plays down the field still? They were not able to really make plays down the field. Running-wise, they did get a different look out of this talent on Ohio State, and it certainly, I won't say cost them because they're in the game, but it certainly had an effect on them and certainly slowed them down. But they continued with the run because they really didn't have that passing game. Nate Sudfeld was not all there, and then you got Xander Diamond in there. You don't want him to throw it 40 times if you can avoid that. But again, what it did was it did one of two things, actually did two different things that are they are among the best in the nation at right now that you wouldn't have necessarily thought of. First of all is time of possession. They are at over 32 minutes a game, and they're about, I think I had it up here a second ago, they're about 15th or 20th in the nation at time of possession.
Ballpark.
This is a huge stat, and people don't like it or don't care about it all that much when it doesn't matter, but they do when your defense is no good. Because if you want to stick your defense out there like they did 3 years ago and stick them out there for 35 minutes a game, you're just exposing yourself even more. I get outscoring people, but if you don't score once or twice, again, your defense is in a bad spot. They're taking better care of their defense this year because of that. And the other one is the turnovers. They are fifth right now in the nation, tied with Michigan State at almost +2 a game in turnovers. This is, again, the most causal stat in football about wins or losses becomes the turnover margin. You can look at every game in the history of it, and it comes down to turnovers.
And
they're
Wilson
continuing to do a good job and only have two giveaways all year long out of five games, and that's amazing.
And Coach Wilson added one more thing to that in his press conference. He agreed with you on both those points and also added chunk plays. He said in college football, with the spread offense these days, everybody's designed to get guys in space and go.
And make big plays.
And guess what they did? They had three. Indiana had one. He goes, again, that's something we got to fix. But he's looking at, a lot of those things that we just talked about are good. But to beat big teams, to beat Big East or Big Ten Eastern Division teams, which all seem to be quite large, those are the check marks you have to do. We talked on Wednesday about when do you abandon the run because it doesn't work. In hindsight, I don't want Nate Sudfeld to get hurt or tweak his ankle. I'd rather have him 100%. It might have kept us in the game.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You didn't have a chance to abandon the run for the pass. That didn't even enter your mind. It didn't even enter the playbook.
He went out in the middle of the third quarter. In the third and the fourth quarter, Indiana had the time of possession, 18 and a half minutes out of the full 30.
And they had three first downs
in
the third quarter.
And most of that is without Nate Sudfeld in the game.
Right.
It absolutely kept you in the game.
Yep.
Look, we'll talk about the defense after the break here in a minute, because the defense was phenomenal and certainly helped you. But offensively, what you couldn't have your offense do at that point is cost you the game in some way by making a huge mistake. And what they could contribute if they couldn't produce a lot of yardage, what they could contribute is they could contribute holding on to the ball and letting your defense get better and letting them get more rest and letting them be more fresh next time they're out there.
And
now, the defense has to do their part. We'll talk about that.
And if it takes a reverse pass from Mitchell Page to get you 16 yards, it does.
To loosen things up,
absolutely,
there's no question.
And so, Diamant's run was huge in that game as well, because at 34-20, you think, here you go.
And the crowd got quiet. Everything's, they all see Sudfeld going out of the game. They all know Jordan Howard has limped off. Everybody's not not sure what's going on.
Yeah, but one thing that stands out for me on the offensive side of things, it just has to get better, and it's guys that haven't seen a lot of balls in their life. But Simi Cobbs had two huge drops, three drops on third down, and Cobbs had a drop for about, 20 yards that would have just, talk about opening some things up, would have really stretched the chain, stretched everything else. And, again, it's kind of turning to go, and you don't have it just yet. You got those are, again, you want to beat big teams, you have to do all the little things right, just not a couple here and there. We just told you, plus three in turnovers, plus how many minutes in time of possession. They got us on big plays. I don't remember them dropping many footballs, Ohio State.
No, I don't.
I don't remember that happening. But the defense kept you in it, and I don't think that's anything we would have talked about in previous years with this program, because the defense has been maligned. It had been. But now you've got some athletes. You've got some guys that can play, and it's been the difference this part of the season. It has not been the video game offense. We've seen some good numbers, but it has not been the consistent number. Yes, I know the defense gave up 34 points and 500 yards, but they did a lot of positive things that maybe you haven't seen in the past.
Well, there's a lot to talk about when we get back from the break, and we will talk about that defensive side of the ball in just a couple minutes. So don't go anywhere, and we'll be back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. A couple quick programming notes for you. We've got Monday Night Football coming up here in just a little while. Of course, in the Red Zone, we'll take over at 7 o'clock. Glass and I will be with you until 7:45 for the national pregame of Detroit at Seattle, which kicks off just after 8:30. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, it's Joe Smith Sports Talk. He will have Mark Deal and talk about the Mallory Men reunion, which is set for homecoming weekend, the 17th of October, against Rutgers. We'll also talk IU cross country with Ron Helmer. We've got football all the rest of the week after that, then, too, as the Colts are at Houston on Thursday night. That's a 7:25 pregame as we take the full Colts broadcast when they're on the air. And then Friday night, John Callahan and I will be in Columbus as the South Panthers head on the road to try to win the Conference Indiana crown at Columbus North. Chalk Talk 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. For that, we'll have Wisconsin at Nebraska 2:30 on Saturday, and a pair of NFL games you'll hear more about later this week on Sunday. So plenty of football going on here on WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. We're talking about IU football. They do a drop 34-27 to Ohio State, the number one ranked Buckeyes on ABC. The Hoosiers handle themselves very well, despite losing at the end of the day. We talked a lot about the offense, and we'll have to talk more about that in the future, because, again, with an offensive coach struggling a bit on that side of the ball, there's always something to discuss over there. But got to give credit where credit is due, and the big story out of this game, certainly early in the game, and certainly statistically, you can point out some areas at the end also. Look, they're 120th or 112th right now, somewhere in that neighborhood, in yards given up per game, total defense. They're not stopping people. But what they are doing is they're making plays, and they continue to make more and more. And you saw this weekend, more and more of the important plays that get you off the field as a defense and get the ball back to your offense. And again, the defense's job is to stop points from going up against you. And if you do that because you make one play on a drive of three plays and it happens to be third down, that's all that matters. Or if you get one turnover to stop a drive inside your own 10-yard line, you do it three times or twice or whatever it takes, that's all that matters. Slow down the point production of the opposition is what it comes down to. It doesn't really matter how you do it. If you got to give up 500 yards and you make a couple big plays, great. And this weekend was a perfect example of that, especially early, Glass. They set a tone early in the run game by committing a lot of guys up there and making Ohio State beat you with Cardale Jones. He couldn't do it.
No, he couldn't, and I believe they had 15 yards rushing at halftime, Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, they really stuffed him up.
That's a testament to Ohio State being patient as well and not getting away from what they needed to do. If you would have asked me before the game if I bet we would have saw JT Barrett before Xander Diamond, I would have taken that bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wasn't the case. Indiana folks were kind of happy they didn't see Barrett, because the two option quarterback, a guy can throw and run,
right,
was going to pose more problems than the 6'5" Ben Roethlisberger clone standing in the Ohio State pocket.
He's not as fast as Barrett. No question.
Oh, and you can't take down Jones in the pocket. How many times right. Indiana get hits on him where he's just bound to bounce off him, and then there's somebody trying to grab his shirt one-handed, and that's not going to work either. But I'll give you two stats that jump off, and you're going to tell me why on each of them, because it's pretty obvious. The good third down conversions. Indiana holds Ohio State 2 of 14. Ohio State had one fourth down try. It went 65 yards for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So where you have those good, the bad was, yeah, there goes Elliott on third and two for 45, or whatever that one was. I lost track.
They went 55, 65, and 75.
Which one of them was on fourth and
all
whatever.
In a row.
Now, I know that wasn't the fourth, and the 75 wasn't on fourth down. I know that. I think it was third and two. Hey, let's get everybody fired up. Yeah. Then we jump in, and we miss the angle, and there's Crawford here, and there goes Elliott by him, and where's, well, there's the safety, and he's gone. So you do so many good things. And they're around it, and they're making plays, and they keep the crowd in the game. That is the good news. But again, you got to tighten up the ship a little bit when you have so many young guys playing. Well, Dutra leads you with tackles. He's your safety. He's had 11 of them, so that means there's a lot of stuff happening in his neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly right.
But again, the generalization is, if you're mad at Indiana for giving up 500 yards of total offense for Ohio State and giving up three big plays, well, I can't help you. That is true. That is absolutely true. I cannot take that away from you. But what I can tell you is it's 10-6 at halftime. And for 30 minutes, Indiana didn't give up big play after big play. Indiana didn't get the ball run down their throat, which we've seen time and time again at Big Ten level football. That didn't happen. So being the optimist I am and the factualist, in that 30 minutes, Indiana played some really good football. Now, did they play it for 60 minutes? No, we'd be sitting here talking about a victory if they did.
Right.
But is it better? Yes. Is it statistically better? Probably not. Indiana, I think, gave up around 32.5-33 points in the Big Ten last year and about 500 yards a game, 490 or somewhere. And I'm just, again, paraphrasing this. So, yeah, for you sticklers that don't like it, this performance isn't going to help you in the stat-wise. If you only watch the game in a box score and if you only watch the stats, you're not going to be happy. If you watch it with your eyes, you'll see this is a better football team.
Well, it's better on defense. It's more athletic. There's no question. They use more bodies than they did a couple years
ago. Because they have guys that can play?
There's no question. Certainly some of what they did this weekend was strategic. They picked their spots to blitz. Frankly, on third and medium to long downs, they just drop guys back
and let
Jones sit back there and try to find somebody and confused him. And you wouldn't have thought that out of the Ohio State quarterback, but that's exactly what they did. They gave him a lot of looks. They kept it up. They committed to at least slowing down the running game. And again, it slowed down their running game in the same manner that Ohio State slowed down our running game. The difference, of course, was three big plays from Ezekiel Elliott compared to one from Xander Diamond.
Let me jump in just while I got this play on the top of my head. Third and 10 or 12, third quarter, fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, 10 minutes ago, they hand the ball to Elliott. Now, look, that's the Ohio State. That's what they tell me to call them, the Ohio State University.
I'm not going to, but
that's leading in that game. That's the confidence you have in their quarterback? Or is that out of respect? Because I know Woody Hayes once said, if you throw a pass, three things happen, and two of them are bad.
But
I get that.
Woody's not coaching and hasn't been for a while.
Sure.
Cardale Jones was 18 of 27 for 245 yards
Very
and
solid.
An interception. It's 147.7 rating for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
Look, you could watch the game and you could see he was confused. When he dropped back, there were a lot of times where he was confused. And that was part of the issue is, I think they tried to force it because of the looks they were getting on defense in the first half. They tried to force it a bit. They certainly gave Elliott a few tries at it, but they did not commit coming in the door. In the third quarter and fourth quarter, they certainly got back to it and blocked it a little bit better. You can't go the whole year without doing it. I'm still shocked at some of the play calling and the attempt to continue to get Cardale Jones to produce in that regard.
Absolutely.
When they've got the offensive line and the running back that they do. I'm still a little bit shocked at that, but they did.
You're running on passing downs and passing on running downs, and I don't know if they're trying to outsmart what was going on, but that's where it goes back to the point, Dave. If you just watch the box score and you say, oh, they gave up 500 yards. Oh, they gave up three runs over 55 yards. Don't tell me their defense is getting better. Well, I can't help you. We try to give you something to think about when you would do this program. We try to give you an angle maybe you don't see on television or you don't see at the game or whatever it could be. But the point is, Indiana's players were making plays.
Well, that's the question, because
you can put them in some positions now you couldn't in the past because those guys couldn't make plays. Now you can make some plays.
The question for the defense is, can it sustain giving up this kind of yardage and making a couple key plays to keep you in the games for long enough? That is the entire question. Is that sustainable to continue to allow the other team to go up and down the field a bit? Now, again, this game was different than the other games. They gave up 500 yards, but it really came down to big plays. I mean, three plays, 195 yards. There was some general production out of Ohio State anyways, but what it came down to with some of these numbers was they got burned on the big plays, no question. And that's been different than a lot of this year. They've given up a lot of yardage pretty consistently all year long. But this one was about being pretty stout most of the time and then giving up the big plays. For the defense, though, again, the biggest difference, as we talked about, has been getting off the field on third downs, getting turnovers. Can they sustain those two things in particular is the whole question.
And they have, because it's 11 games in a row with the turnover. That's what it is. And again, those are facts, and you can do with them what you'd like. But the point is, you're making plays in the secondary. You're making plays 10, 15 yards down the line of scrimmage. The other point is, these weren't blown coverages. These were blown run assignments. So there's a different layer that still has to be corrected, because we've seen the blown coverages, and now we've got the other side of that too, where everybody's, again, you got to trust the guy next to you. You can't cover two positions. You've got to do your job.
333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Larry. How you doing, Larry?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm doing outstanding.
Wonderful.
Hey, I love the game. I go to all the games and really enjoy myself. I was a little worried at the first game, but my golly, I noticed it in this game, and especially in the last game, the home game, in fourth quarter, they weren't giving up. They kept their heads down. They kept hitting. They kept driving. They just went after it. And sometimes in the past, when the kids aren't quite as big, it just seems like they run out of a little bit of gas. But I'm not seeing it. I mean, they're going full throttle as far as I'm concerned. We've got a team.
Yeah,
I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid.
And 34-20, that's an accurate statement. I joked about that in the first segment, Larry, where guys, everybody, some people were reaching for their seat cushion, starting to fold their blanket up, and then boom, you make a big play. Those were the first points Indiana had given up in the third quarter this year. 14 of them to the number one team in the country.
Yep.
Again, that goes back to the defense. You might not like the yardage. You might not like the total points at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But, again, that's the first team to score in Indiana in five games in the third quarter. And that's progress. That we haven't sat here and talked about that for years, where Indiana just gets torched by the big play, but they're so good at this, that, and the other thing. That hasn't been the case. And Dave's point, he's been on it, the time of possession, Rodney, when your defense isn't gassed, because they aren't gassed, that gives them a better shot. And the other point is they have more guys who can play. In past years, if Latham, who missed the game, if he was out, there would be a void there.
Oh,
there'd
huge.
Be you'd yeah. be running in three guys to get production from three guys for one. That's not the case anymore. They have some guys that can make some plays. They're deep at linebacker. Larry's getting in his car. Two hands on the wheel, Larry. Good job. Good call as always, buddy. We appreciate it. You have some numbers. You have some depth. And that's what year five of the program should be like. Right. It shouldn't be perfect on the field, and it's not going to be.
Well,
sport isn't a game of perfect.
They're still young, and that's why you see some of the bad fits or coverage mistakes or that sort of thing. Those are young players in the back end, certainly. And there still isn't as good enough pass rush on a regular basis as there ought to be.
It's a little easier to forgive those when you're up 31-10 at Wake Forest and you get a blown coverage in the end zone.
Look, I'm looking at the second half.
But you can't do it against Ohio State.
They scored 28 points.
They did.
Okay, that's a fact. Four drives for 28 points. They also had four punts and two turnovers. And then the last one just ended on the last play of the game, basically. That's what the defense was able to do. Is it phenomenal? No, it's not phenomenal, but it kept you in the game. I mean, it was enough to keep you in the game. And certainly in the first half, they did a great job. There's a missed field goal that certainly helps you out. You held the two field goals.
Yep.
It helps you out. You created a turnover. You got them to punt. Again, I'm not going to tell you the defense is great, but if it continues to make those plays at those moments, it's going to continue to be in games. And at the end of the day, that is what matters. On fourth down conversions, I'll have to find it here, but the fourth down conversion rate for Ohio State, let me find it. Where'd you go? I am losing it.
What do you need?
Fourth down conversions.
One
Third
for one.
Down conditions, actually.
Two
I'm
for
sorry.
14.
2 for 14
That's
for
good.
Ohio
That's
State.
Good.
That's really good out of the Indiana defense. And why is that important, of course, is that it's third down. You're either punting or you're going for it on fourth and scoring, and they only did that once. Again, 2 for 14 gets you off the field. If you're getting off the field as a defense, you're probably not giving up points as a team, and that's what matters. It sounds simple, but that's the truth. And same with the interceptions, with the fumbles and that sort of thing. +3 once again. That's enormous, and they haven't been doing that in past years. I know they got 11 games or whatever it is with a turnover, but they haven't been winning the turnover battle very much until this year.
Or the time of possession battle.
And it's huge.
It is.
Comes from both sides, but the defense had to create them first.
Rob, hold the line. You're first when we get back from the break.
We do have to take that break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone.
Live from downtown Bloomington, it's In the Zone with Dave and Glass
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCO.
All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Real quick programming break or note here, and that is that we go until 7:45 tonight in the red zone coming up at 7 o'clock. So we got all kinds of time with you here to talk Colts and IU football. And then Monday Night Football takes over. 333-2665 is our phone number.
And before we get to Rob, who's been holding patiently, Jim had to call in quickly. He was on his break. He wanted to get this in. He said, I was at the game. He said, you didn't hear too much OHIO because I think, well, number one, the Buckeye fans were drowned out a little bit by the Hoosier fans. Yeah. And the Buckeye fans
didn't. A little stunned, probably.
Well,
too.
And a lot stunned. And sometimes biting those fingernails, it's hard to cheer OHIO. Yeah. Rob, you've waited patiently. Thank you for it. You are in the zone.
Well, thanks for taking my call. But you guys are really good, but you didn't mention the comedy and the play of the day.
Which one? We haven't got to the whole show yet, so it could have been in our repertoire for the final cut. What do you got for us, Rob?
The play of the day.
The fake punt.
Was the fake punt.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. The riverboat gambler strikes again.
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk about special teams yet. Yeah. It's kind of amazing we're in this game, considering to me we really lost special teams across the board.
And don't forget that fake punt was right after an 8-yard punt or whatever that was beforehand. So
yeah, did Coach Wilson mention that one?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
He said that they put the kid in a bad spot. They'd ran it all week to the short side, which was the right side, and somehow they got lost in a check down where it got to the left side, the wide side of the field.
It's a little weird. I think he said they ran it left because they were into the boundary on the right. They changed it. I actually put on Twitter. I put the screenshot of the beginning of that play, and you can see the three guys who are usually in front of the punter that are back off the line.
Yeah.
These three guys are heading right, and there is not an Ohio State body anywhere near the right side of the field.
He went left.
I remember
where all
it was
the bodies
fourth
were.
And one.
Yeah, you didn't need much.
So you didn't need much. He went left. They went right and had blockers.
Yeah. And again,
he just missed it by a yard.
Well,
that's all you needed. Wilson said, though, he put his kid in a bad spot because they'd run it in practice, but maybe not as enough as they wanted to. And
if the kid had gotten the check, if the punter had gotten the check and gone right with his three blockers, he would have had 20 yards.
He would have had a convoy with him. But, yes, the special teams, and Coach Wilson
certainly
mentioned
wasn't a
that,
great place to miss that.
No.
At.
He mentioned that in his press conference today as well. He said you can't go on the road, meaning Penn State, because he's on to the next game. You can't go and lose the kicking game. They had 2 yards of punt returns. They had about 2 yards. And the kid, I know he's a true freshman, can't return kicks anymore. You can't let the ball bounce on a kickoff.
Did you read about, you probably knew this too, Oliver, our lineman?
Marcus Oliver, the linebacker, made a fumble?
He said somebody wasn't doing – he indicated that somebody in the line wasn't doing their job and letting Wild Bill Elliott run through there.
Ezekiel? Well, Ezekiel's going to run over a lot of people, but Oliver made another – his third forced fumble a year in 5 games. Again, guys are making plays. Ezekiel Elliott, if you remember correctly, if you were around the holidays last year, ran all over Alabama with 7 guys drafted last year, and he ran all over Oregon in the championship game. So Ezekiel Elliott's going to get his. But as quick we are to point that out, and we did talk about this a little bit, Rob, I think you have to be fair. Ezekiel Elliott had 15 yards at halftime.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes, Indiana did a really good job on a premium Heisman Trophy candidate. And it's not perfect. We get that, but you got to give him some credit on that because that's what happened.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit on that. He was going from side to side, they said, and
once he breaks free, no one's going to catch him. Yeah, once he hits the hole and goes, if there's not, if you don't have the good angles, and that's what the young secondary too, and maybe some young linebackers, guys that get wide-eyed and want to make the big play instead of the smart play or the contain play, when Elliott breaks it, there's no one that's going to catch him.
Thanks for the phone call,
Rob.
Good
job,
Rob.
Good job paying attention.
Ezekiel Elliott, just to remind people, in the postseason last year, which includes the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin,
three games.
He had 220 yards, averaging 11 yards a carry against Wisconsin. He had 230 yards, averaging 11.5 yards a carry against Alabama. He had 246 yards, averaging 7 yards a carry against Oregon, and 8 combined touchdowns on the ground. Again, he was enormous for them at the end of last season. He's been over 100 in every game this season. It was only a matter of time until he affected you. So to keep him, I think, as long as he did was great. The thing about this defense we've seen over the last several years has been twofold. They give up a lot of yardage on every play, and they give up a lot of big plays. This team has cut down the big plays. It's making some of its own big plays.
Right.
What it needs to do, though, it needs to sew up a little bit of both. A couple more stops of big plays and bring it back down to a 20-yard gain instead of a 75-yard gain.
Chunk plays.
Those are
Coach
the next
Wilson.
Couple things. Again, it's giving up yardage. Can it sustain the turnover situation? Because that erases a lot of mistakes, and it did in this game. On the special teams, real quickly before we have to hit our break, we lost the special teams battle. There's no question about it. The only thing that that Ohio State did wrong or didn't have in their advantage is they missed a field goal. And they had one punt, I think, in the first quarter. It might have been the second quarter, where they're at the 1 yard line, waiting on the ball, and it's in the guy's hands, and he drops it, and it goes in the end zone, and they have to.
That's not even
all that big a deal. But all day long, they had returns, especially in that third quarter, that put them in great position. We got out of one of them with a fumble. I mean, so again, credit the defense there for causing the fumble. I believe that was Marcus Oliver that caused that fumble,
and that was after Cardale got away from everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge fumble play at that point because they were already on your 30-yard line to start that drive. Again, they had three turnovers, all of which were in your territory, two of which were inside your 10-yard line. It's not the prettiest for 60 minutes, but if you keep making the plays that get you off the field and don't get you scored on, that's what your job's to do. So,
and that's, again, those things are getting better. Yes, there is room for improvement. That's another facet of where I like where this team is right now. They are not satisfied where they are. It wasn't their goal to be 4-0. That wasn't it. That was one of them,
right?
Obviously, but that has not ended the next step, the hunger, the drink of water they need.
And here's the thing. This was a pretty good offense this weekend. Ohio State isn't playing perfectly for themselves right now. They'll get better. They'll look better by the end of the year. But the next two offenses we face aren't very good. They're not. They're not Ohio State quality. And if the defense can continue to make plays and improve at some step here, that bodes well for the Hoosiers, at least in the next couple weeks. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the red zone here with Dave and Glass with you on another Monday night. Taking your phone calls as always at 333-2665. A fun first hour as we talk about Indiana. Unfortunately, Indiana University loses to Ohio State, but a nice showing, and certainly given the injuries that they went through and still some of the issues they have to sew up across the board to give the number one team in America that kind of game and come down to the last play is at least heading in the right direction, and that is a good thing. They go to Penn State on Saturday. We'll preview that on Wednesday. But now we move over to professional football as we lead you up to 7:45 and pregame of Monday Night Football with Detroit at Seattle tonight. Could be a slaughter in Seattle tonight, but we will see. Hopefully we'll be. I'm a Seahawks fan. What can I tell you? But before we get there, we'll take you up to Indianapolis, where the Colts had a home game against Jacksonville, nearing a record for consecutive division wins. To tell you just exactly what the AFC South has been like. Thank God the Colts have been in the AFC South. They've been good, but again, they've been getting Andrew Luck hit over and over and over. I have talked about it till I'm blue in the face. You're probably sick of hearing of it, but there right there was the end result of all of that, and the Colts eked out a victory anyways with Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback. But let's start here. I mean, Glass, Andrew Luck, he's a franchise. He's the guy. He's the one. He's the man. You could lose everybody else on that team and replace him with a whole other team. Exact replicas, like Stephen Wright used to say. My whole house has been replaced with exact replicas.
How do you know?
And as long as Andrew Luck is still Andrew Luck, he's still going to win football games. But you can't win football games with Andrew Luck when he's not playing and not even in pads.
No, but he was in pads today after seven handoffs. Andrew Luck threw his first screen pass to Frank Gore.
Was it complete?
I don't know. Yeah, there's a picture of him. This is called inside the in the red zone because of the top that Luck has to wear, the red tops.
Don't hit him.
Exactly right. But again, yes, I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Let's give Matt Hasselbeck full credit.
Absolutely.
Andrew Luck hasn't missed a game since his freshman year at Stanford.
Greg Doyle wrote.
I didn't get to that.
Hasselbeck
yet.
out of the league earlier this season.
Yes. What a waste of money on a backup quarterback. Why would you ever spend $3 million on a backup? That's why. He was nothing short of steady. He made the touchdown throw falling down, getting hit sidearm, and Kobe Fleener caught it as he caught seven others for a career high. I believe eight balls or nine. I can't remember what the final stats were on it. But he's 287, and no interceptions. What?
More important.
No turn. Yes, we'll get to the turnovers in a minute. Because the Colts signed somebody today has been talking to someone today that they might sign that will factor into that. But what do you expect out of a 40-year-old backup quarterback? Not to sprint for first downs, not to throw the ball where it's not supposed to go, not to turn the ball over and make stupid plays. You expect both hands on the wheel and ESPN's favorite term, a game manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he played it to a T. He was worth every penny. The Colts start 1-3, 1-1 in the division. Who knows?
Well,
who knows? But the point is, here on a Monday, the extended version of In the Zone, in the red zone, we're talking about a Colts team that's now 1-2 straight.
Right.
Field goal kickers be damned, because Matt Hasselbeck did not cost Indianapolis the football game.
Well, he didn't cost him the game.
I didn't say he won it. He did not cost him the game.
Well, let's hold on here, because here's the thing. I mean, it was 16-13 in overtime.
Yes.
A couple missed field goals, one of which counted from Jacksonville. Several of which.
Three missed field goals. Two counted, right.
Adam Vinatieri hit the one that he had at the end of the day. Indianapolis rushed the ball 24 times for 60 yards. Matt Hasselbeck threw the ball 47 times. He's almost 47 years old. He threw the ball twice as much as they ran the ball. Here is the other side of the fact that you have an offensive line that you still haven't figured out. Not only has it cost you Andrew Luck for that game, we're not sure if he's going to play this week. We're not sure what this means long term. If we want to be generous and say it was only a one-week thing, they wanted to rest him for this Thursday, I'll go with that for now. Sure, why not?
You don't know any different.
But the problem is he missed a game to begin with because of all this. And on top of that, you have to go into the game that he missed with a completely unreliable run game. And it's not because of Frank Gore. I mean, let's give Frank Gore credit. This guy runs his brains out.
He does. He can't hold the football.
He's got a couple fumbles all of a sudden this year.
Two huge fumbles.
But you could give him the ball a little bit more also to help take the load off of Matt Hasselbeck, but they couldn't block anybody up front. It was easy to pin the ears back and go after the run game for the Jacksonville defense that isn't particularly all that great. So they were able to shut down the run game completely, and now all of a sudden you got to throw it almost 50 times with your 40-year-old quarterback that nobody wants to see play simply because, of course, they want Andrew Luck. It's nothing against Matt Hasselbeck. But again, 47 throws. It was 30 of 47.
I said he was 20 of 37. I'm sorry. I got my numbers wrong.
47 there. Throws from a 40-year-old backup quarterback, because you can't run the ball in addition to already getting your main quarterback and Hall of Famer potentially
and
hurt.
The other thing that you like about the Hasselbeck deal was he averaged 6 yards pass.
He was
so
great.
What does that mean?
He
managed the game. He didn't try to force the ball in double coverage because T.Y. Hilton ran that direction. He's too smart to do that. You didn't see him put a lot of passes in bad spots, meaning bad spots where it could have led to bad things. If he threw the ball away, it was in row D. It was great. He did exactly what a 40-year-old backup quarterback
should
do.
And they still got seven guys involved in the passing game, play calling wise. They got a bunch of guys involved. They did the same thing.
Well, here's the problem. You give Josh Robinson a chance to run the ball. What's he do? He fumbles it.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, I'm listening in the car at this time. I'm going to do something. And I say, well, why isn't Gore carrying the ball here?
And then
he fumbles again at the goal line.
Twice this year.
Now, look, he fumbled against the Jets. That would have given the Colts the lead there. That's important. That's huge at home. That's
absolutely
a big, big deal. Now, no one hit him on that one. I understand he got hit here, but you can't. The Colts didn't get a field goal.
Frank Gore's not been a fumbler.
Touchdown.
He's not
That's
a fumbler
the point.
In his career.
The point is, now he is.
Yeah.
And he said after the game, he goes, I just have to play football. I can't worry about this anymore. And so, yes, please do.
Well, yeah, don't worry
but
about
take
it.
Out the
but
22, take out the 22-yard run to set up Vinatieri's field goal, and Gore is 16 for 32.
Yeah.
Or 31.
And the team's 23 for 48.
And again, Jacksonville, let's be fair. We're Colts homers. Jacksonville should have won the football game in overtime.
Absolutely.
The kids, not the 53-yarder. That one's more difficult. He kicked into the wind end both times. Okay, got it. No problem. The 48-yarder, you have to make at that level.
Yep.
No question about it. But what the Colts defense did, Dave, see if my eyes are working here. I couldn't get Hasselbeck's completing attempts right. Third quarter scoring for Jacksonville, nil. Fourth quarter scoring for Jacksonville, nil.
Yep.
Overtime scoring for Jacksonville, nil.
Yep.
So where you had your $3 million old man that just got paid way too much money, could use that money on offensive linemen, essentially not lose you a football game, and like you pointed out, could have won it. Your defense, who has been maligned as well, mm-hmm. stood up and was counted for 30 minutes against now Blake Bortles. Let's not get him confused with Steve Young or Joe Montana. Let's not do that. But the point was they made enough plays where T.J. Yeldon's 105 yards didn't matter. Where Allen Hurns, who is that? You play fantasy football? Do you know who Allen Hurns is?
I heard the name.
I'm not picking him up.
Well,
he caught 11 balls for 116.
Well, if he was going against the Colts, maybe I would.
Cecil Shorts the third.
Yeah,
Cecil Shorts the fourth. But the point is the defense came up with some plays. It didn't allow yes, they didn't cause a bad snap. It went over Bortles' head. I get all that. But what they did is they didn't get gashed. They didn't get run up, where Hasselbeck was forced to make some kind of magical comeback. At 13 to whatever it was, you're in the game.
Right.
You don't have to deviate from what you're doing. You're down 20-10 fourth quarter. Now you've got to throw some dice and do some other things. So give the Colts defense some credit. We haven't had a lot to talk about. They've been solid. They haven't been fantastic. But they were good.
Well,
and they survived in overtime, and that's all you can do and go on with it.
I'll add to that. Let's look at what the defense was up against.
Will Jackson had 17 tackles. Okay.
They had Vontae Davis, but in the backfield, I mean, that's about the only corner they started the game with. The guy who's been playing was Jaleel Brown. He got hurt. Greg Toler and Darius Butler haven't been playing. They put Darius Butler back out there. That tells you he wasn't ready to begin with for him to go in for Jaleel Brown at that stage. He ended up getting burned pretty quickly.
He got
actually
turned on. You notice his hip. He couldn't turn that quickly.
Exactly. So you've got a couple banged up and a missing defensive back. Greg Toler, you paid a good bit of money for. So I mean, this is not
said that's
I understand
that's
that, but he's missing.
Yes.
You know, and Jaleel Brown is not Greg Toler. You paid Greg Toler several million a year to be on this team as your guy opposite Vontae Davis, and he does a pretty good job most of the time. He's picked on, but he does a pretty good job. You're missing him. Freeman in the middle of the line goes away, and you got Josh McNary in there, who just a couple weeks ago was
on trial for rape,
was incarcerated or at least ready to go
found not guilty.
So it's
every charge thrown out.
Excellent.
Let's just throw that out.
Fantastic
there.
Glad to hear it. I hope that's really how it went down, but either way, the guy's just with the Colts for the last 3 weeks. He's not been with them all through the off season. He'd been kicked
Freeman,
off the team
groin,
or released.
Yeah, Freeman groin.
Groin. Mathis is not himself out there. Trent Cole didn't play last week, but he played this week.
Decent.
So, I mean, there are issues going on the defense, and you turn the ball over twice, and yet, as you mentioned, for them to throw a shutout in the whole second half and overtime is phenomenal.
Not like Jacksonville didn't. They picked
it's
up.
It's not a powerful offense they were facing, but that's the whole point is you've still got to stop that offense. And they managed to stop that offense and keep their offense in the game and allow Matt Hasselbeck and Frank Gore to eventually make a couple plays.
And some news and notes from Colts land before we hit the break for you. Henry Anderson was wearing a boot on his foot before practice, so that's something Colts fans will have to look at.
He's
on
played a lot.
Thin defensive line.
He's been in their regular 3-4, but he also plays inside on their pass defense. Well, they'll put two tackles in and they'll put two rush ends in. He's one of those two tackles a lot of the time.
And Ahmad Bradshaw met with the Colts earlier today as well. Well, you can't give Josh Robinson two carries. He fumbles on one of them. You can't do it.
And if he's healthy, heck, he likes how he runs. There's no question
Zerlon
about that.
Zerlon Tipton was also returning kicks yesterday, so there's another running back.
Oh, the Patriots brought in a Boom Heron for an interview.
There
we
got
to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass will be in the zone.
Live from downtown Bloomington, it's In the Zone with Dave and Glass
on News Talk 96.1.
All right, you're back in the red zone here on WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again. Phone number is 333-2665. Quick programming notes again. We're with you until 7:45 for pregame of Monday Night Football, Detroit at Seattle. And kickoff will be just after 8:30 for Monday Night Football. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. It's Joe Smith's Sports Talk. You'll have Mark Deal to talk about the Mallory Men reunion at the IU football homecoming game on the 17th of October. That's a home game, of course, against Rutgers on the Big Ten Network at 3:30. He'll also talk to IU cross-country coach Ron Helmer. That's tomorrow night. Of course, we'll be back. Actually, Terry and I will be back on Wednesday, 6 o'clock, for In the Zone. So tune in then. 333-2665 is a phone number. Talking Colts football. Victors in overtime against the Jaguars, 16-13. We'll all thank, I don't know who, but somebody, Zeus maybe, for the coach, or for the kicker, rather, for the Jaguars missing everything in the sun and giving Adam Vinatieri a chance at the end of the day. But again, we mentioned it. The defense keeps him in it against a, you know, mediocre at best offense in Jacksonville, but keeps him in it despite their own issues, despite the offense give him the ball up twice on fumbles, not able to get a whole heck of a lot of their own going. But the defense keeps him in it. And then 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck. And look, I'm going to continue to pound on the idea that they got to find a way to protect Andrew Luck better here in the future and make better moves. And this is why, if you want to pick coach or GM, I'm going to go against the GM in all of this. But give Matt Hasselbeck a ton of credit, because he's not taking most of the snaps. He's not taking any snaps most of the week, he says. He said Andrew Luck takes them all normally. So he doesn't get much work on a regular basis, but he's clearly a pro and approached this from a professional standpoint, didn't cost you a thing, and more or less won you the game, I think, at the end of the day, because you couldn't run the ball either to help him out.
Yep, and again, how much confidence do you have in running backs when they're not making plays? That's the other part of it. The thing that Frank Gore and Andre Johnson, you thought, would bring would be veteran presence and professional workmanship-like stuff. And Gore, he's not doing it. You thought you had signs of life last week, and after the Jets game, it was better. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Get you a road victory, played well on the road. I'm going to give Gore credit there. But again, in big spots, you can't fumble the football.
No, you can't.
Josh Robinson.
It's twice at the goal line.
And in game
for Gore,
winning.
For Frank Gore.
For go-ahead touchdowns.
Josh Robinson, you might expect that from.
And in the middle of the second quarter, who cares? Yeah. Not against the Jets, we're not touched.
No.
Not against Jack. You should have lost the game. You go up a touchdown there against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You're up.
Yeah.
And then you've got Blake Bortles having to make plays. Well, it's easy to figure out what you'd rather have in those situations. So these guys aren't getting it done. Can Andre Johnson play?
I don't know.
Is Houston laughing at us because he came over and said, geez, you know, I get a real quarterback to play. The guy can't get open.
They're not even bothering.
Do you see the routes he runs? You can't put two pieces of paper between him and the defender.
No.
So you either need to
He's a 34-year. I said this in the offseason. I love those guys as guys. I love those guys as professional football players.
But physically, he can't get open.
But not at 34 years old.
So
that's the whole thing.
And they're not trying to use him in a way.
No, and at least Frank Gore has shown you a couple flashes. Yes. Andre Johnson hasn't shown you anything.
He has not. And that's the thing. It's been disappointing. So you take that option away from Luck and from Hasselbeck. Where, again, I saw the numbers today. He's been targeted like six times in four games.
About the only thing I'd like to know right now about Andre Johnson.
Is he hurt?
I'd like to hear from Dante Moncrief if he thinks Andre Johnson is helping him at all on a regular basis.
Because that would make sense.
Because
and Dorsett.
Out of the Johnson addition and out of Dorsett being drafted, somehow, some way, maybe it's unrelated, maybe it's not, but what has come out of that as a positive is that Dante Moncrief is becoming one of the better wide receivers in the league right now. He's making big plays on third downs to get
and
you first downs.
The ball.
He's catching the ball all over the place. He's making big plays all over the place. He is the biggest difference, you know, outside of the Andrew Luck situation on this team.
No question about it, because Dwayne Allen's still hurt. Boy, if you had a dollar for every time you said that, you'd be rich.
Cody Fleener's catching everything under the sun.
You know what? He had a really nice game. And that's a career-high 9 balls for him as well. He made a good play on a tough throw.
Right after I dropped him from my fantasy team, of course.
Well, because you, like Kobe, drop a lot of things as well. But he makes a great sliding catch in the end zone from a tough throw from Hasselbeck. The tough ones for Kobe are the easy ones.
Yes,
it's the routine ones where he's getting ready to run and I want to kill somebody. Run him over. Those are the plays that he seems to get too excited about. But he has played himself back into the good graces of Colts fans as well. And when you take a look at what the Colts are trying to do offensively, the line's going to be the line. Hasselbeck was only sacked 3 times on 47 dropbacks. That's not terrible. I mean, we want to nitpick. Yeah, it has to be better, right? I get that. But when you've got Philip Dorsett, 1 carry, Hasselbeck, 3 carries. Hasselbeck has made carries that Josh Robinson did.
Yeah.
You ran the ball 24 times.
At least he had
times.
One less fumble.
He did have one less fumble, and he had a longer gain of 4 yards on his naked bootleg, which was funny to watch.
Yes, it was.
But anyhow, if the Colts don't find this balance, it's going to be tough. But the one crutch the Colts have had the last couple of years is the AFC South is terrible, and Houston qualifies for that. Yep. You want to tell me J.J. Watt's MVP turned the game on yesterday? It's 28-0.
Mm-hmm.
You What's he affecting?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully
he's not affecting Andrew Luck's shoulder. If you put two and two together and you think of Vince Wilfork, maybe Jadeveon Clowney, and J.J. Watt going against our offensive line.
Throwing Cushing with that group?
I'd rather put Matt Hasselbeck out there again and see what happens. I mean, no offense, Matt. But
interesting stat as well you can talk about on Wednesday. Write this one down. Fourth road Thursday in a row for the Colts.
Yeah,
interesting on that. So the good news is they avoid disaster. 1-3 with Hasselbeck. Andrew Luck's shoulder probably would have hurt a little bit more if they lost. Probably feels a little bit better that they won.
And
obviously,
a quick turnaround
with them practicing today, that's good. That's not a bad sign for things. But again, the Colts have survived to this point, Dave. And you know what? In the NFL, that's half the battle.
I have said this before, and I may have even said this each of the last 3 years. If you watch this team right now and think this team's going anywhere in the playoffs, you've absolutely lost your mind.
Can they get better?
Managed to in the last 3 years somehow. But again, it looks even worse this year, and you're dealing with Matt Hasselbeck. Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the red zone here with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Taking you up to about 7:45 here as pregame for Monday Night Football takes over the 0-3 Detroit Lions at Seattle. So that's a tough-looking game tonight for the Lions on the road at Seattle. Always a tough place to play, but the Seahawks are 1-2. At this point, also
shutting out the Bears last week.
Yeah. Of course, on Thursday night we'll have Colts football. It starts at 7:25 on Thursday because we get the full hour of pregame for our Colts network broadcast. Colts at Houston. But looking at the NFL this weekend and the stories coming out of it, the Cincinnati Bengals continue to impress and surprise, as do two teams in the NFC South, the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. I'll remind folks at this point, we got to play the NFC South. So I'm not sure if that's a mirage going on there with Atlanta and Carolina or not. But the Colts still have to play them.
Well, Atlanta handled Houston, so if you're wondering what the Texans did on the weekend, there's that answer. Tennessee was off, so the Colts obviously taking care of Jacksonville in the division. They are 2-0 in the division, which is huge. That's 15 straight wins. That's one from the all-time record. I think it tied it.
Yeah, one away.
So that's you're doing what you need to do in your division, and that's been the crutch. And hey, who was 6-10 the other year? Won their division, went to 7-9.
Carolina won with a sub 500.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yep. So it's how the game is played. Until they change that, you can embrace it. Now, off the top of my head, I don't know who the Panthers have played. I know they've beaten Tampa Bay. That's not exactly
correct,
but at least it's on the road. So we'll pay attention to that. Drew Brees returned last night.
Jaguars, Texans, and Saints.
There you go.
For Carolina.
Rubbish. Drew Brees returned last night, Sunday Night Football. That
helped. Seemed to make a difference.
He would. And if you listen to it right here on WGCL, finally an overtime game. You didn't have to stay up for another hour. It was 13 seconds into it. An 80-yard pass to C.J. Spiller got the Saints off the schneid.
Atlanta's is more impressive, at least from the start of the year.
Atlanta's impressive.
Eagles at Giants and at Cowboys, in addition to waxing the Texans.
The Falcons are impressive is because they're doing exactly what you thought they would do. They're going to have Matt Ryan throw it to Julio Jones.
Yeah.
And then they throw in this running back to nobody's heard of, Freeman, who's got 6 touchdowns in 2 games. Is that correct? Something ridiculous. He had 3 touchdowns last week, 3 touchdowns this week.
Yeah, when Coleman went out, this guy's Wally Pipping him, so be careful.
That's kind of where I was going with that. So, it's not Jamal Anderson of the old days, but he's given them a huge, huge spark. Browns are unlucky again, but the one thing that gets lost in all this is the Packers just go about their business, and Rodgers just
nice and quiet.
He just wins games,
and it's nice and quiet.
We talked about it last Monday. Monday Night Football was coming up. We said, well, it's Rodgers at home. He hasn't had an interception since 2012. The Packers don't lose since then. What do? They go out to a 28-2 lead and win the game 38-28 because Kansas City tried to make it late. But they go to a 49ers team. You got to go west. That's never easy for teams. It's easier to go east to west and west to east. We get all that, but you just go out and take care of your business and give up 3 points. We know San Francisco has not been that good, but those are games you think, hey, we'll just show up and beat the 49ers, but they keep winning. And that's the other thing. And old man Peyton Manning.
The other team that keeps winning 4-0. Again, everybody keeps trying to bury Peyton Manning and say that something's wrong with that offense, and maybe there is, but they got the best defense scoring-wise in the league right now, or second best.
And no offense to Manning.
4-0.
He's 4-0, and you are what your record says they are. But if you watch that game yesterday, here comes Minnesota. What? How does the game end? It ends on a Teddy Bridgewater getting sacked and stripped, and Denver picking up the football. Why? Because Denver's in everybody's business.
Yeah, they got the pass rushers
on that side of the football. And again, not a convincing win. I think the Vikings are better than a lot of people think they are.
Yeah,
I think they're solid.
Bridgewater's maybe a year or two away from being really good.
But anytime you got Adrian Peterson to help, kind of help take that that leverage off you. And again, their defense was not gashed apart by the world famous Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. It was a Ronnie Hillman big touchdown run. How fast is he?
Really fast.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I thought a guy had an angle on him, and he accelerated.
If I remember correctly, he was at San Diego State, and they were throwing Marshall Faulk comparisons around when he was at San Diego State. He was a big-time recruit.
You could see why.
Yeah.
And back to the Bengals, a huge win for the Ravens on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a disaster.
Talk about kicker problems.
Yeah. That's home field kicker, too. That's not on the road. On the road, kicker gets a break, but home field kicker was doing what road kicker usually does at Heinz Field, going that direction. Yeah. So Pittsburgh played well without Roethlisberger. Could have argued.
Well, yeah, not well enough.
Guy makes a kick, they win the game.
Well,
they didn't, so it's not like they killed themselves. And then Baltimore gets off the schneid.
There's one more I want to throw out
here.
Yeah,
please do.
This is odd in a couple different ways. First of all, the Arizona Cardinals have arguably been one of the better teams in the league this year.
And they go lay a tremendous.
They're at home against the Rams. And it seems to me like the last couple of years, the only teams the Rams can beat, other than the Colts won, are their own division. I mean, they do a really good job in their own division. They've got Seattle's number.
Yes.
They play San Francisco tough every year. And here they go all the way out. Well, not all the way, but they go out to Arizona. And again, the Cardinals have arguably been the most powerful team on both sides of the ball.
Well, why do the Rams give you problems? Because their defense gives you problems. That's why.
That defensive line is tough.
It's good. And you know what?
And they got speed all over wide receiver.
I left out Kendall Langford from the Colts discussion earlier. Give him some credit. He played really solid football yesterday.
And he's been the one, you know, you talk about the pickups for this year for the Colts.
Solid,
he's been solid. He hasn't been flashy.
Right.
He's been the Cody Redding or Corey Redding. He's been solid.
And again, without
Arthur
Jones and with two rookies next to him.
Have to have him healthy.
So we got to give some credit where credit is due there. Yeah, but there's the greatest thing about the soap opera of the NFL is every week there's two or three games where you lose your mind and you say that there's no way that can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, 2 weeks ago the Buffalo Bills were the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God! After they lost, they beat Miami 30-3 or whatever it was down in Miami. After the Patriots walloped them,
2-0.
Oh,
Patriots.
Here we go, and then all of a sudden they can't do anything right.
Yep.
17 penalties for Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Where was that with the Colts?
Meanwhile, the team he left is 3-1 and looking very good at this point and has the best scoring defense in the league. We saw them. That's a salty defense, and they do some scary stuff.
They did, and the Dolphins are terrible. They fired their coach today. Joe Philbin is out in South Beach, so that dumpster fire is just going to burn a little bit hotter down there. Maybe they get LeBron to coach him. Maybe you could bring LeBron over for a couple days. Remember, he wanted to play high school football a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's only four games in, but can we write off most of the AFC North? I mean, the Steelers and the Ravens can't get out of their own way.
They can't
on Thursday
night.
It's
going to depend on
the Browns. Gave you a little bit of hope the first week, and then now they're just dumpster fire.
The worst division in football by far is the AFC South.
Of course it is.
And the Colts, luckily, are residents of it.
For the last 4 years, they've gotten away with all these problems for the last four years.
There was good Houston teams in that division. There was good Steve McNair teams in that division that gave us problems.
That's been a long while.
Yeah, so there has been that. And in the NFL, they give you
– Jacksonville was in
the
NFC.
The NFL gives you every opportunity to right the ship. If you are poorly managed and poorly coached, you will not right the ship, and it's simple as that. Ask the folks in Jacksonville how they've been doing when they get rid of a quarterback they draft every other year. Again, you want to throw some gas on the fire. The rest of the league ain't going to sit around and feel sorry for you. They're going to beat you.
Speaking of gas on the fire, that's what the Seattle crowd is going to do tonight.
The 12th man.
To get their team going. Can Detroit win in Seattle?
See, this is one of these games of the two or three each week. Calvin Johnson can catch 7 balls for 200 yards and score 4 touchdowns. And you say, how the hell did that happen?
The defense, the NFL
happened.
Yeah.
They could. Now, what is the likely scenario? Not that. Likely scenario is Seattle running the ball and Russell Wilson making plays. And Cam Chancellor is back. We'll see if he's game fit, game shape, ready to go. But this isn't the Bears. This isn't Jimmy Clausen handing off 27 times in a row.
No.
It's a much better
offense. And they've got a halfway decent defense.
Peyton Manning,
yeah.
Who else?
Well, let's pull it up.
He's got to play the West, So they lost Minnesota in opening week. Minnesota's decent, we've told
you. Chargers, Minnesota.
And Detroit
three
had
road
a
games
huge,
out of their first four.
Detroit had a 17-point lead against San Diego and lost on the West Coast.
That's right.
So they're back to the West Coast for the second time in 4 weeks.
Yep.
That isn't easy either.
Monday Night Football coming up in just a couple minutes. We've got to
take
off.
Gut check says maybe take the points tonight. You might get a few of them.
There you go. We'll be back Wednesday, Terry and I, 6 o'clock to talk to you. And Joe Smith Sports Talk tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. So tune in then, and we will talk to you later. You've been in the zone.